There our sins are washed away. There our sins were taken upon the body and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have liberty and freedom because of Him. And praise the Lord for that. All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Nahum. And I'll give you time to find that. In the book of Nahum, I think it's the sixth book back from the last book of the Bible. If you have Schofield's, page 952. It was a great city, and it was a wicked city. And so Jonah had the command of the Lord to go down to Nineveh and to preach there in that city. Of course, we know the story of Jonah, how that he went the other direction. He got a boat and went to Tarsus. But he finally ended up in Nineveh. And he finally did what he was supposed to do, and that was to preach repentance to them and to let them have the understanding that God was going to judge them in just a short time if they didn't repent and turn from their wickedness. And you can read a lot about Nineveh in history. It's a very wicked, wicked city from the person that lived there to the politician that ruled there. It was just a city that really had no rule at all. It was a large city. The Lord says it's a great city. Go to Nineveh, that great city. And I have read different places where Nineveh was about 3 miles long, almost 2 miles wide. And for that particular period of time, that was a large city. And so Jonah's given the command to go there and preach. He didn't desire to do that. But when he did, God honored his word. And the Bible tells us that the whole city turned from their wickedness and they put on sackcloth, ashes, and they turned to God. Not just a portion of them, but the Bible says every person, the whole city. And we may look at that in a little bit. And so they've had what we would call a great moving of God. They would have what we would call a great revival under the preaching of Jonah. And Jonah, this is about 100 years before the writing of the book of Nahum. So you have a 100-year period of time. And now when you come to this book, you'll find that Nineveh has gone back to its wicked ways. The scripture says here, the burden of Nineveh. The Bible calls it a bloody city. The scripture tells us a lot of things about this city of Nineveh. And so Jonah he preached 100 years. Later, Nahum gave prophecy to them, and this prophecy that Nahum gave to the people of Nineveh did not take place for another 100 years. So in this period of time, what God is dealing with them is a 200-year period, and this message that Nahum ordered or was given to them or uttered to them, it wasn't not a call to repentance. Now, Jonah's message was a message of repentance, turn to God. Nahum's message is a message of judgment because they had turned away from God. And so we find that when Nahum preaches and he writes these words and gives the prophecy against them, that doesn't take place for another 100 years. And you can imagine how much the wickedness had continued on and prospered and grown. And you say, that's not a long period of time. We've seen a whole lot of change in our country in just 30 or 40 years, much less 100. If you go back 100 years in our history, you'll find that we have changed a lot in those 100-year, that 100-year period. And so Nahum is giving a message of judgment. Chapter number 1 is God's wrath against this city. God's going to show them He has the ability to bring His wrath against them and why. In chapter number 2, we find the destruction of Nineveh. And in chapter number 3, the first words there says, "Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. the prey departeth not. And so there's nothing good here when you read these words, the judgment of the Lord upon them. And so Nahum prophesied, and he did this during the time of Hezekiah, the king of Israel and or of Judah. And so the destruction of Nineveh was at hand, and it was coming, even though it was going to be 100 years. But in these, especially chapter number 1, we find that Nahum shows the holiness of our Lord. The reason that God can judge people is because He is holy. The reason that God can bring about judgment upon a group of people or even an individual is because He is God, and He has that right and He has that authority. There's some things said about God here in chapter number 1. If you didn't read all the other things in between, you'd think this chapter would be about how good the Lord is, and it does have much about that. In verse number 7, says, "The Lord is good." Well, since the Lord's good, that means He can make the choices and the decisions to follow His plan and to judge the ungodliness. And He is a good God. Thank the Lord tonight. He is without sin. He's perfect. And everything about Him in the Scripture tells us that He is good. And Nahum was trying to portray the goodness of the Lord. He was trying to give to them how good the Lord was. They have to remember 100 years has passed since Jonah. And these people that are living now were not living during that time of the great movement of the Lord. And they have gone back their old ways. You see, sinful nature, sinful hearts always go the same way. It's against the Lord. And so Nahum is proclaiming to them that the Lord is good. Also in verse number 7, he says that the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. I'm sure in Nineveh, like every other city or every other place, there were some people there that still believed and still followed the Lord, but the city as a whole had given itself over to ungodliness. And Nahum here is telling those that are believers or those that are followers of God and believing the things of righteousness, he said he wants them to remember the Lord's good, and He's a stronghold in a day of trouble. And what He is telling them, there's a day of trouble coming upon you, and there's a day of problems that's coming. But thank the Lord, He is a stronghold. He is one that you can grab a hold of. He's one you can take a hold of, and He'll hold you up and lift you up. And so He's a stronghold. In verse number 7 also, Nahum says He knows them that trust Him. So there are some people there that are trusting Him. There are some people there that are the leftovers, I guess we could call it, of the movement of the Lord under Jonah's preaching. And the Lord knew every one of them, knew where they were, knew what they needed, knew how to take care of them. And Nahum is preparing them for the judgment of the Lord that is coming. Now, if you look up in verse number 2, there's another attribute about God that is very important. God is a jealous God. He desires first place. He doesn't want to be second. He don't want to be somewhere down the line. He's a jealous God, and He requires for Him to be in first. He required that in Israel. He requires that in the church. He requires that in our individual life. He requires that in our homes. The Lord is just God, and He's jealous over His people. And so Nahum is telling these folks that are facing judgment to come that God is jealous over them. And then in verse number 3, the Lord is slow to anger. 100 years now has gone by. God hadn't judged them. God hadn't progressively taken care of the problem. He's been slow to anger, but He is angry now. He's been slow to getting to that, but now He is angry in his being, and He's going to bring about the judgment and the catastrophes that would come upon Nineveh. And Nineveh now is really just a memory. It's not no longer a city, and it's long years ago went off the scene. And so He's slow to anger, but when His anger is put forth, then there is a definite determination of the Lord of what will take place. Verse number 3 says He's great in power. Let's just read verse 1, 2, and 3 here, maybe verse 4. It says, "The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Ecclesiite, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. He drieth up all the rivers. Basham languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth." Verse 5 says, "The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation?" So Nahum is presenting the Lord. He's a good God. He's wonderful. He's slow to anger. He has great power. But his time of being slow comes to an end. His time of overlooking comes to an end. And he says he will not at all acquit the wicked. See, when you're on trial, you're acquitted. That means you're found not guilty. You're found there's no problem. God's not going to do that. God will not at all acquit the wicked. The wicked is, they're guilty of the things that is pronounced against them. And so we find that Nahum is presenting the Lord as a strong, furious, mighty God. The hills melt and the earth is burned at his presence. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and rocks are thrown down by him. And then the next words are, "The Lord is good." Even though in the midst of destruction and in the midst of judgment, the Lord still is good. Everything that he does brings goodness to people. And so the Lord was interested in Nineveh, that great city that had been proclaimed the message of God by a messenger that certainly was reluctant. He did not want to go. He didn't desire to be there. He ran from there, and God finally got him in that place, and he ended up in Nineveh. When we think of Nineveh, we always think of Jonah. Nahum's message that we read here is a message of judgment that is going to come. He doesn't put a time frame on it. God doesn't tell us when. But we can look back in history, and Nineveh fell about 100 years after Nahum pronounced this judgment upon them. His message, as I said a moment ago, was not a call to repentance. They had already had that. They had already had the opportunity to repent, and now time has gone by and they've forgotten that, and now they are in the depths of despair and sin, and God is going to judge them for that. So I want us to think three things tonight about this city of Nineveh. There wasn't going to be any hope for them. There was no remedy for where they had gone. You see, they had experienced the truth. They had the truth. They had lived in the truth. They had flourished in the truth. Now they have rejected the truth, and there's only one thing left for that, and that's the judgment of the Lord. That ought to make us a little fearful of our own country. We certainly have lived in the goodness of God. We have lived under the rule of the authority of the Word of God, but we have rejected that. I started to say we are rejecting, but I believe as a whole we have rejected the holiness and the righteousness of God. And you never gain back what you lose when those things take place. And so as Nineveh was at one time a city that was forgiven, now it's almost a city that's forgotten. The only thing we hear about it and the only time we would remember Nineveh is if we read the Scripture. Turn back to the book of Jonah, just a few pages there. have the book of Micah in between. And in the book of Jonah, chapter number 3, Jonah has already had his trip to the fish's belly. He's already had his encounter with the Lord. And in chapter number 3, we find that the Lord comes to Jonah the second time, and he has the same commission as he had to begin with. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose. He went. He's ready to go now. He's already gone through his chastisement from the Lord. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Take 3 days to walk through the city of Nineveh. That's a fairly large city. How far would that be? I don't know what the calculation would be on that, but it would be a 3 days' journey to go through. It's a great city, a city of many, many people. And here in these next words, we find that this city became a city that was forgiven of the Lord. God forgave them because they repented of their ways and they turned to the Lord. In verse number 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Let yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now in Jonah's message, God gives him a time frame. God says, I'm gonna judge you in 40 days. Interesting study in the scripture are those 40 days. There's a lot of 40s in the Word of God, and much of them have to do with judgment. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. That was the judgment. Here God says, I'm going to give you 40 days. And then he says, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It's going to be destroyed. So that was the preaching of Jonah. That's the preaching of this man that didn't want to go. No wonder he didn't want to go. Who would want to have that as a message, that all that you preached while you were there, that God is going to judge you, God's going to overthrow you, and you got 40 days to change. And so he goes in a day's journey. He's a third of the way into the city. And he preaches and he proclaims that Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh, what does it say? They believed God. That always makes a difference. Praise the Lord, that makes a difference in our lives when we believe God. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, and we perish not. Look at verse 10. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil ways. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and did it not. Now when the Bible says he repented from the evil, he changed his mind from the judgment of God that was going to be upon them, and he spared that city because he saw their deeds. He saw what they were doing. From the king to the peasant, they were all admonishing the Lord to bring upon them peace and safety. And so in Nahum's opening remark, we see that God's sort of upset with them. They're a bloody city now. They're an ungodly city now. But 100 years before, God looked upon them and he was pleased at what he saw. And he says, I'll withhold my wrath or my judgment. I'll withhold that because of what they did. And it was all because Jonah followed the direction of God, followed the command of the Lord. He went into the city and he proclaimed the message of the Lord. He did what God told him to do and God blessed it. Anytime we do what God tells us to do, he will bless it. He will honor his word and he will honor the things that he has has promised us. And so we find here that as they followed the direction of Jonah, Jonah probably thought he'd be the most unpopular person in town. That's why he didn't want to go. He said, I'm sure in his mind he didn't want to preach that message of judgment. Who wants to do that? Who wants to go into a city that is not your city? You don't know anybody, and you all of a sudden your message is for 40 days and it's over. He didn't want to do that, but when he did, God blessed it, God honored it, and from the king that lay his robe aside and set in the ashes and put on sackcloth, which was a reference to mourning and understanding of what was taking place, and now the whole area, everybody, and the king proclaims a fast. Neither beast nor individual was to have those food or water. And he says, who can tell if God will turn and repent or turn away from his fierce anger and we perish not? How did the king know that God had a fierce anger? How did the king know that God was going to bring that upon him? Because there's one man faithful to the Lord. When you look at Jonah, we always sort of key in on his unfaithfulness. We always talk about the problem that Jonah had because he would not follow the Lord. But when he did follow the Lord, what a great, we would call a revival, took place in that city that would take 3 days to walk through it. And they proclaimed the fast. And now the king says, perhaps the Lord won't do what he says he'll do. Maybe he'll turn from his fierce anger. Maybe he'll not bring about the judgment that he said that he would do. And the last words of chapter number 3 of Jonah, and he did it not. The Lord withheld his judgment. Well, you get over to Nahum. Time has gone by. Sinful natures are as always. Now the city is called a bloody city. In verse number 1 of chapter 3. It's a city that is full of lies and robbery. And the noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels. And the panting of horses and of the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude slain and a great number of carcasses. And there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Nineveh was an ungodly, wicked, dying city. They were killing themselves faster than they could reproduce. And the streets were full of the corpses. And here the Lord says they are stumbling on those. And he says in verse number 4, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored a harlot, the mistress of witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Behold, I'm against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. Now what they heard in Nahum is a whole different message than what they heard under Jonah. That's what they were going to hear under Jonah. That's what they were going to hear if they did not repent. But they turned and they were a forgiven city. They were a city that was rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord when all that was said and done. It shows God's power, His pity, and God's purpose. These three are shown in God's forgiveness of that wicked city. They are forgiven. And they were a wicked city. We just read there in chapter 3, a bloody city, full of lies, full of robberies, captives, dragging captives through the streets. If you read some of the history of Nineveh, they would take people and behead them. They would take people and hang them by their feet upside down, or they'd hang them by their hands until they died. They would pull people's tongues out as a point of torture. A very bloody, ungodly, wicked city. But God forgave them earlier, but now he says, no forgiveness. Now he says, you're going to be a gazing stock. A gazing stock is somebody that just stares. And the world would stare at them for the judgment of the Lord and the ungodliness of that city. They had forgot everything that the Lord had done for them. Only 100 years before, now they've forgotten. How easy it is to forget the goodness of the Lord. How good it is to forget how the Lord blesses. How easy it is to say, well, it'll be okay. I can do this or I can do that, and a nation can turn its back upon the Lord. And we have a group of people today who don't even have any idea anything about God. You could talk about Bible stories that we know, and it's foreign to many of the younger folks, because down through the years we've gone through the process of taking God out of our society, little by little. And we have watched it take place. And Nineveh was a city that had forgotten. I think America is a country that has forgotten. I think America is a country that has turned its back upon the good things of the Lord. But that doesn't change the fact that the Lord is good. Doesn't change the fact that he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And I believe our troubles are just over the horizon. I believe the problems are just around the corner. Thank God he's a stronghold. He's one we can hold on to, and he is strong. He'll not falter against that. And so we find that judgment comes, and sometimes it takes a long time. These folks probably hadn't thought anything about the judgment of God, but all of a sudden God says, you're going to be a gazing stock. You're going to be one that people look upon and wonder and in amazement of how did a city that was as great as Nineveh, how did it fall, and it fall be so hard? It's simply because they forgot the good things of the Lord. How can a country go from where we were a few decades ago to where we are now? We've sat by and we've watched it happen almost uncontrollably, no turning and no changing. And everybody thought, well, we've got everything going our way now, the last election, and nothing's gone anywhere. We are still an ungodly nation. We're still an ungodly people. And we still are going to face the same God that Nineveh faced one day. And he may make us a gazing stock. He may make us a group of people that no longer has any ability to take care of themselves, no longer able to do what has to be done. Sinners scorn the Lord and they scorn the Word of God. But ultimately, the wrath of God will fall. So Nineveh was a forgiven city, and Nineveh now is a forgetting city, forgotten the Lord. Now, number three and lastly, Nineveh is a fallen city. It's all over. We read there in chapter number three, and that is the judgment of the Lord. Woe to Nineveh. There's a lot of woes in the Scripture, and anytime the Lord says woe, you better look up and see what's around it, because there's problems ahead. He says, I'm going to make thee a gazing stock. Notice in verse number 7 of chapter 3 of Nahum, we find this city falling farther and farther away from God. In verse 7 it says, and it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. It's a great city, a large city. But now those that will look upon Nineveh in the day of his judgment, they're going to say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Who's going to be sorry for Nineveh? Nineveh was a strong, important city of the Assyrian kingdom. And now it's gone. Now it's destroyed. Now it's no longer there. And the empire of Assyria is defeated along with that. He says in verse number 8, art thou better than the populace? No. That was situate among the rivers that had the waters round about it, whose rampant was the sea, and her wall was from the sea. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Laban were the helpers, yet was she carried away. God says, you had the sea, you had the waters, you had other countries, you had other people. But where are they now? You're carried away. And everybody that looks upon you, they're not going to be sorry. They're not going to be sorry about, they're not going to bemoan you, the word is. He says here that her young children were dashed in pieces at the top of the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all the great men were bound in chains. So here's a city that was great. Now it's a city that is a city of slavery. All because they forgot the good things of the Lord. All because they forgot that one day they had been forgiven. One day that the Lord had changed and withheld his judgment from them. Now they are a city that is fallen. This city was built as a city that was walled. It's called a walled city. All the way around the city, it was there was a wall that was, they thought, indestructible. All the way around it was the wall that they thought nobody could penetrate. But it was penetrated. And they, 3 miles one way, back and forth, mile and a half, fairly, maybe six, seven, eight, nine, around a 10-mile wall around that city. And they thought, well, we're safe. We have our security. And if our security fails, we've got Egypt. And we've got these other nations around us that will help us. It was built on the Tigris River. You can look on a map, and the Tigris River is still there. It's one of the oldest rivers in the world. And and so we find that it was built and had a moat around the wall. They just thought they were safe. And the Bible says, in other places, sudden destruction comes upon them. That speaks of days ahead. The Bible says, people shall cry, peace and safety, and sudden destruction shall fall upon them. That will happen one day to the nation of Israel because they rejected the Lord. They had the truth. They had God. And they turned from that, and they're going to cry peace, and they're going to look for safety and security. And God says, then sudden destruction shall fall on them, just like it did Nineveh. Nineveh had their opportunity. The king of Assyria made it one of the most beautiful, splendid cities of all the world. His palace had 71 rooms. The man's name, he's mentioned in the scriptures, his name is Sennacherib. And he made that city the city of gold, the city that everybody would desire after, sort of like Nebuchadnezzar did Babylon. You see, our security is not in things. Our security is not in what we can do. Our security is in the hand of God over us, protecting us. And when God removes that, natural forces come against, and the judgment of God falls. Nineveh tonight remains a silent witness for the glory of Assyria. You can go to the ruins of Nineveh. Nineveh remains tonight a silent witness in the judgment of God. That's what's left. Who is man? What is man? We think we can do, and we think we can stand against the Lord. Let me turn over to Hebrews chapter number 10. And with this we'll close. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. That's what happened to Nineveh. That's what's happening in America. We have forgotten where God found us, what God has done for us, and the only thing left is the indignation, the wrath of the Lord. May we learn the lesson. There are people today that say history is no, we don't have to have history. We need history very, very much to learn what takes place, the cause and effect. If I do this, what's going to be the effect of that? The Scripture, time and time again, gives us that. We found it tonight. The effect on Nineveh when they heard the preaching of Jonah was that the whole city turned to God. That's cause and effect. 100 years later, they rejected God, and God brings them judgment. That's cause and effect. And 100 years from that, God's going to bring it out and show them firsthand His wrath. May the Lord help us. Thank God tonight, as the Scripture gives us there in Nahum chapter 1, the Lord's good. He's a stronghold. He knows us. He's jealous over us. He's slow to anger. He has great power. And He will not acquit the wicked. Those that are wicked will have their day. Judgment will fall. May we learn our lesson from a city that is sort of obscure anymore, the city of Nineveh. Great city, but it failed. Let's stand tonight and ask God's blessing.